Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 530-710-0765. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here at Tobacco and Brew at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Thank you for showing up. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Maybe we should have done a little bit of a sound check before we started here. But anyway, I hope that the reason that we start off a little bit like this every time we begin here on Friday at noons is so we can get our stream going. Right now we're streaming live on Free Fire Radio. Many of you who are listening right now. Just a second. Let's put our hands together for Shelley and Joe here from Tobacco Brew who make this happen for available, this wonderful room they've made available for us in the North State here. And by the way, it's really nice because what they do with this room is it's a community room. You, if you wanted a place for meetings, can, just for whatever your donation is, use this room, and we think it's a wonderful contribution you've done here in the North State. Thank you so much.
Well, Joe and Shelley make so many other contributions, too. You know, we could just have a whole show on Joe and Shelley, but it would just embarrass her. But, you know, we like to embarrass you just a little bit now and then.
And we also want to thank Fred Chavez, who always films our Free Fire Radio afternoon spots and their little spots that go up on YouTube. Today we're going to be covering a lot of topics.
And we would like to thank the guys working our sound, except they've got it screwed up, so we're not going to say a word. So let's just move right on. We had a debate scheduled for today that had to be postponed, but it will be here on the 23rd. We've got both sides agreeing to it. It'll be from 7:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll have it not only here going out over the internet and be filming it, but it'll be going out over our radio station at the same time. So we can have a lot of coverage that day. We can put about 90 people in here, and I imagine that'll be pretty pre-filled up.
Before we begin, again, when we really get down to some great topics here, tomorrow Carl will be walking in high heels for Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. That's right.
I'm coming out tomorrow.
And Jeff is going to join him.
And our friend Jeff, the head of the Patriot Guard Riders, not only is going to have his high heels, but who else knows what this man will be wearing.
But there's been so many generous donations for Carl. I think went up to, the goal was 250. I think our last count was 700 and something.
786
and this is just for people who said, if you wear a feather hat, I will give you $100. If you wear a feather boa, I will give you $100. If you wear pearls, I'll give you $50. And guess what? The man is going to do all of the above, but he said it stops at lipstick.
What kind of bustier?
What is a bustier? How many guys would say, what are pumps?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if anybody else has ever done this, but for a guy, you put on pumps. Now, what exactly is a pump? You know, for males, the definition of a pump is a little bit different maybe than a female. A pump is, you know, you take that weight and, oh, yeah, you know, great pump. No, women wear these things on their feet. So I was wearing them around the office yesterday, you know. And then I was practicing. And let me tell you something. My hat is off to the ladies. You know, what you all do to yourselves on purpose, men would never do except by accident. Or we're offered a lot of money. So today, you know, we were, like I said, we had the opportunity to, you know, bring on a couple of people. But there's so many things that are going on that we wanted to have more of a, you know, an open day today. But then Missy MacArthur was driving by. She wanted to come by and see what was going on. So we're going to grab Missy first for 15 minutes or so because she's on her way to other places. You know, Missy is a member of our city council, and she was just at Stillwater. Please welcome Missy.
Thank you, Missy.
If you want to, you can sit down if you want to, Becky.
How's that better? Okay. Yes, I went to the Stillwater grand opening. We had a ribbon cutting this morning, and we're looking forward to the economy turning around. We've had some good news lately. The development director, Jim Hamilton, at City Council on Tuesday night said that we have the most permits taken out for January, February, March this year than we took last year. The head of the hoteliers, Mr. Steve Gaines, who owns C.R. Gibbs across the street, said that all of the revenues for the hoteliers is up for the first quarter for January, February, March also. So, hey, I think there's good news coming, and we're going to be turning this slow-moving ship around to good economy. And Stillwater's part of it.
So have we heard anything yet on Stillwater? Do we have our first signed contract or anything?
We do not. We do not.
Okay.
And Mr. Pohlmeier, the former mayor, was out there this morning and, again, made the same quote that you may have read elsewhere, that he feels still strongly that once we get that first lot sold, the first company comes in, that things will start selling like hotcakes, and I certainly hope he's right. He was part of the original city council that promoted Stillwater. So he's still very optimistic, and I'm hoping he's right.
Well, yeah, so do I. You know, right now I think Glenn Hawes' cattle are grazing out there. So anyway, now questions. So what's the state of the city right now, Missy?
Right now we're doing pretty good. We're still in the black. Some cities are dipping deep into the reserves. We've had to use some reserves, but we're actually doing okay.
I don't know if people have heard this, that Los Angeles has threatened to shut down for like 3 days a week because they're having problems in their money supply.
Well, we're still doing furloughs, and we do have an issue coming up. We've asked the unions to step forward, as you may have read in the paper. We have a $2.3 million that we still have to find a way to make that work, and so that's still coming up. That'll probably come up at our next city council meeting.
Okay. The latest thing I saw, of course, well, there were two things that the convention center been voted to shut down the convention. Not this convention center, but the
CVB.
The CVB, the Visitors Bureau.
Yes.
Can you give us a little background on that and what's going to happen?
Well, the CVB actually does a similar job that the Shasta Cascade Wonderland does, which is located in the Visitor Center when you come into the outlets down in Anderson. And in a cost-saving measure, we've decided that using that organization and closing down the CVB would be, in, like I said, in this economic times, the fiscally responsible action to take. So we actually have closed the CVB, or it's in the process of closing. It'll take a couple of months. As far as the convention center, I'm a very strong proponent of the convention center. I would have a serious heartburn with
you
closing.
Mean, closing it down, though.
Yeah,
I can't see how that could be a go for the city because so much goes on with it. I mean, even there's going to have to be some changes, though, I would believe.
Well, we're looking at numbers, and part of the numbers might be some of the TOT, the as they say, the heads and bed tax that gets paid that the hoteliers help promote the convention center that way.
Okay, our first question.
Hi, Missy. Ron Largent. Last night I was at a function for a business that moved out of a facility, of an office over on Bocelli.
I was in the same place last night that you were,
and
remember?
I said, why did you move? And she said, well, one of the reasons were the marijuana, the cooperatives. And we talked last week about this at this meeting. I'd be interested in your opinion. Where do you see that going? Is it going to continue? I mean, when businesses move because of it, we have an issue. I'd just be interested in your opinion on that.
Actually, I did ask that same individual. Was that was the rumor that was being said, was that she had moved because of that. And she said that was part of the decision. She already had this other idea in the works, but that also did influence her. You know, as you know, we have the ordinances set up now that should restrict certain kinds of common walls, et cetera, et cetera. I think the county, our former chief, Mr. Modi, is doing the right thing in terms of he's seeing how some of these lawsuits play out. I'm worried that the city of Reading may have gotten the cart a little bit before the horse. I'm worried there's some lawsuits out there that could hurt us financially. And I would have proposed a moratorium for like 2 years, which is essentially what the county's doing, just saying no more. But we do have everything in place now, so I don't see that there should be continuing problems, hopefully.
Well, you know, on a follow-up to that, you know, you're seeing it's almost scary in a way that you see some businesses failing, and what's taking their place is communes. You know, as one business leaves like that. So I would like to be able to know that there's something in place that says, okay, we've reached this point. We, you know, we've got the second highest amount of marijuana for sale places, I think, in the state. I think L.A.'s the only one that's got more, is what I've heard. So I guess, though, is that at some point it will take care of itself.
I think that the cards are lined up that it will already be taken care of, yes.
This is a question. This is okay. Oops, sorry. That was cool. Good afternoon, Missy. How are you?
Hi, John.
Listen, I would like to suggest that the city consider assigning someone in the Planning Commission to act as an ombudsman between people wanting information about Stillwater, the city and themselves, all combined into one kind of a one-stop point that will consider applicants, their plan, the city's design, and how they will assist the potential businesses in coming into Reading and getting involved in Stillwater. Kind of a one-stop shop, and I'm thinking the Planning Commission would probably be the best point to establish this person. And it's kind of an innovative idea, but I'd like to have you consider it and possibly consider sponsoring it.
Thank you. We did have, as you probably recollect, Jim Zauer, who was filling that role, and with the cutbacks and so forth, we did have to eliminate that position. I think that's an excellent idea, and in fact, I think that there are some people that have taken the lead on that. I would be happy to meet with you, and let's go down together and see how that's being handled right now. Okay.
Thank you, Missy. We really appreciate you coming by and answering questions. And
yeah, this was kind of an ambush on Missy. She just came by to sit down and say hello. And Missy, hey, why don't you come on up here and let people throw things at you?
Well, I actually do have a little bit of a itinerary or an agenda, and that I sent Carl a note the other day about the remains that were the U.S. soldiers.
Yeah,
that
please let's talk about this. We've got the PGR here, and you know, and some MIAP people also that also are associated with that. Tell them what you sent to me.
The article was about the remains of U.S. soldiers from the Korean War that were left in South Korea, and that South Korea is saying, "Come and get these remains," and our government isn't picking them up. And so I sent the note to Carl and said, Carl, can you shed light on this? This is just deplorable that our government isn't stepping forward and picking up the remains of these soldiers that literally gave their all. So I think Carl's going to be looking
We're going to be looking at that and getting with Fred and seeing, you know, what's the story about this? Is that, I mean, yeah, you know, we've got hundreds of thousands of remains still here in the country, but it seems like if the South Korean government says, hey, we have the remains of your warriors that, you know, fell on the battlefield, why we can't get them out of here. So we're going to, you know, push this on to Wally Herger and, you know, up to the senators, I'm sure, that care, so we can move on with that.
Thank you.
Well, no, thank you, Missy, for that. And thank you for stopping by today. Anybody else have a question for our city council person? No, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Missy MacArthur. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't know. When it comes to the Korean remains, it would be almost as if we have such a wonderful veteran-supported community here. Maybe somebody could take one of their planes. We had a fundraiser. I know it costs a lot of money for fuel, but Well, we could do that.
Take one of their planes?
Yeah, take one of their planes. Somebody's plane here. And
well, I'm sure that there'd be people that people that volunteer to, you know, hey, I'll hop on a plane over there and pick up, you know, 10 or 15 of those.
That's,
and somebody pays
go.
An all-expense-paid tour to Seoul, South Korea. Okay, now, the one thing we wanted to do today was to throw it open on the different things that are happening. I've talked about a few of them this week, but I think the one I wanted to talk to first about was the latest with the signing of the new strategic reduction of nuclear weapons between the United States and Russia. Has everybody been following this in the papers and in the news? Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but this is the way I understand it. President Obama signed a treaty with the president of Russia. Putin was not a signer of this, but, of course, Putin knows everything that's going on because it's been rumored that Putin still runs Russia. The way I understand it is that we're going to reduce the number of our nuclear weapons, as will they. And that's fine. You know, how many nuclear weapons do you need to destroy the world? I think it reduces us down to, I don't know, 1,500 or 2,000, something like that. The part that bothers me or concerns me, it seems to concern a lot of people, is that a little part in there that says that President Obama said that he was not going to do anything to modernize or advance the study of nuclear weapons as part of this treaty. I don't believe that the Russians signed that, if that was a part of it. The other part is the Chinese didn't sign it, nor did anybody else. And when you tie in this into is how we've made the decision, President Obama has made the statement that we will not use nuclear weapons on anybody without nuclear weapons that does not possess nuclear weapons, with a couple of exceptions, like I think Iran was one, even if we're attacked with biological and chemical weapons. Is this the way everybody understood that? Does anybody see anything wrong with this besides me? Anybody have anything to say about this? You know, and I'll go back there. But the one thing that really concerns me on this is, why are we giving this away and we're not getting anything in return? Does President Obama actually believe in the goodness of the world, that if we say we're not going to do it, that this is going to keep people from, one, trying to gain a nuclear weapon, or two, attack us? John?
Well, my initial response to this whole thing is, why was anything being said about it in the first place? Why are we changing policy? There's never been a reason given for the policy to be changed that we have in existence, or that we had in existence up until the day before yesterday. I don't see an advantage to the United States in it. I don't see an advantage, actually, to the whole world, because we represent the enforcing authority for many other nations besides our own. And by placing these limitations as to what we will or won't do in a defensive or even an aggressive nature is contrary to our best interest. And I really think, you know, the more I see and listen to our president, the more I'm beginning to question what his motives are. That's really all I have to say about it.
All right, John, another comment from the floor.
Well, my main question is, if you look at the previous treaties that we've signed, no testing, no building of new nuclear weapons, how can we expect ancient nuclear weapons to be a deterrent? So even if we cut it down by a third or half or 10%, whatever it is, it's still not going to do us any good as a deterrent if you can't be sure they work. China and Russia are both developing and testing. Why are we excluded? And then what are we going to do about it if they, you know, if it push comes to shove? We can't really say, well, if you do this like we did with Saddam Hussein, if you use biological or chemical weapons, we will nuke you as in a retaliatory response. Well, who's going to be afraid of old ancient weapons?
And that's the question, is what is the deterrence? What did we gain from this? Mostly when you sign a treaty, it's because a war is over, right? I don't know. Was there a war going on that I didn't know about? I mean, besides the war against terrorism, which is continuous and will be there forever. But I don't understand why we did it, and it has been made clear. You know, is the world a safer place today because of that treaty being signed? And we've got comments from back here.
My microphone cord doesn't go that far. I'm sorry.
When I heard this, you know, I was thinking there's something else coming down the road. And sure enough, next week, there's that 47-country meeting about nuclear development at the White House. And this, I believe, was to ferret out Israel to make them confirm that they have nuclear weapons. And if they have nuclear weapons, they're going to be the one that goes after Iran. All right? See, this is all the timing of when Iran said we're going forward again for the umpteenth time. And to me, it's a ploy or a smokescreen because I think China and Russia and the United States, if anything's going to happen in Iran, they want to be the ones because of the oil fields. And they don't want Israel having that. That's how I look at it.
Good point.
To carry on a little bit of that note, as far as oil fields, we have plenty of our own. Why we're dependent on the Middle East is still a mystery to me. I do believe that Reagan had it right on, peace through strength. As long as we have an artillery and a military and nuclear buildup that was strong and powerful, no one is going to attack anybody that they know is an ally of ours or us ourselves. And I think that is the only deterrent. I think that we have weakened ourselves tremendously with this.
Well, let's talk about Israel. You know, many people say that the reason that we are being under attack by the jihad movement is because we have not abandoned Israel. Just by a show of hands, how many of you think that that's the reason we're being attacked, is because we will not abandon Israel? That's part of it? Okay. And there is a number. Okay,
and, so, and then for the people who are listening, that's about a quarter of the room.
Yeah, that said, you know, part of it is that we will not abandon Israel. I don't think people realize that you've got to look at what's happened in Iran. It just in today was we saw on the news that the Iranians announced that they have a new centrifuge system, which will increase their ability to refine uranium by, what was it, by a third? So they can get to the point of having weapons-grade uranium or refined uranium sooner. I don't think, and Wednesday, if you did not have a chance, and I urge everybody to go to our archives at Free Fire Radio to listen to Colonel Tim Garrity. Colonel Garrity was the commanding officer of the 24th Marine Amphibious Unit that on October 23rd, 1983, was attacked by surrogates of the Iranians and the Syrians. We had 241 Marines and sailors killed at the Beirut International Airport in the command headquarters there. Largest loss of life for the military since D-Day at Iwo Jima. That kind of puts things in perspective there, right? One of the things that Colonel Garrity, Tim Garrity, was talking about is it was the Iranian surrogates that did this. Okay. And with that in mind, that the pushing and the people that were the main instigators behind it, the main planners that were fighting in Lebanon, is now their Secretary of Defense for Iran. All right. Now, Colonel Garrity worked for the Central Intelligence Agency after he got out of the Marine Corps and retired out of the Marine Corps, which is one of the jobs he's had. So what he said was, how do you expect those people, the people in charge like that, to back off? Okay, now, how do I tie that into Israel, right? You have to look at the Israeli mentality, just my humble opinion, is they had 6 million of the Jewish people killed, exterminated during World War II. I mean, people can argue numbers or whatever. I mean, there was millions of people exterminated by Hitler, but many of the Jewish people were. They've gone back. They've gone to Israel. I think you really have to take a look at the mindset of the Israelis to think, are they going to let something like that happen again? No. Absolutely not. If they feel like the next missile that Iran is testing may be coming at them, how are they going to react to this? I think people really need to take a step back and look at this, because right now the Israelis are feeling like they're being pushed real hard by us. Now, and that they may be, but you know, you've got to take a look at the end game in this whole thing. Look ahead a couple of years. Because if the Israelis, and again in my opinion, feel like the next step is them being attacked with a nuclear weapon, they are not going to let that happen. They are not going to go out by walking into those train cars again. They're going to take everybody around them at a threat before they are killed. Now, so going back to Iran again with their Secretary of Defense and the other people that are in the government, and this is a known fact. I mean, there's no secrets or anything to this. What did the Iranians just do? Who did they just sign a big contract with? Well, Venezuela. Oil. Deal. Remember the deals between Venezuela, Hugo, and Iran? So
they're also building arms.
Russia also signed a contract with Venezuela to put a big arms factory there. Now, so now you've got Hezbollah, which are the surrogates, are in Venezuela. Let's kind of move up north a few hundred miles.
Now, let's clarify also that this is not conspiratorial.
Oh, no. This is just a fact.
Colonel Verity, who was on our show 2 days ago, has been in the trenches, and this is something that was fascinating. Again, go back on our archives 2 days ago, and we are bringing him back to Reading, and he is going to do a book signing and speak here.
Yeah,
we don't have that date yet
we're
in a couple months.
It'll be in June, but he wants to come back. He really enjoyed the show. He enjoyed the questions. Okay, now you have Hezbollah. The narco traffickers are making our border a sieve. They're going back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. Our Senator McCain, who for so many years said that he did not want troops on the border, changed his mind, 2 weeks ago? When that rancher was killed. Now he wants the National Guard on the border. Big change. But if you tie in, and again, I'm not trying to be paranoid or anything about this, but if you tie into the fact that you've got Iranians into Venezuela with Hugo, and people are moving across the border, then you've got yourself a real problem here. So I'm not trying to be a paranoid and say, okay, look at all these dots. And if you draw enough dots, and you know, if you throw enough dots out there, you can make anything happen. These are just things that have happened. So you've got to take a look at what's in the future. And that's why we go back to when you start talking nukes and you start saying, hey, we're not going to attack anybody that, even if they use bio on us, do you think a biological attack could be worse than a nuclear attack? Could that be? If you look at how many people have been killed by plague and flu as opposed to nuclear arms, I think you're going to find out that the difference between that is astronomical. All right. Okay. My lecture series is over for right now. All right, questions and comments from people on just any subject that we have here today. Whoa, we're jumping up. Wait, okay. Oh, well, no, Sharon jumped up and she's attacking. She's attacking. Okay, we'll go to Sharon first.
I don't have a question, but listening to all of this really affects me when I think I have a young daughter, and I know there are so many young kids in this world. And where do we go to find help? What are the answers to this? I'm learning that politics is a dirty business. It's very difficult to get things done. And it seems to me the only real hope we have anymore is that as communities, as families, as individuals, we try to join hands and fight for what is right as close to home as we can and try to go out from there. Because to try to do something really big takes so long, and what we're looking at is such a major possible catastrophe going to happen.
And it seems like whether it's the neighborhood watches dealing with crime or just using things like, you know, the Free Fire town meetings that we have here or Carl and Linda's KCNR radio where you can call up and try to voice your opinion and get people behind you and make a difference. If we don't get together as people, individuals, and as communities, I don't know what hope we have. And it just seems like we have to start using what we have close to home. Use the tea parties, use venues like this, and start doing something closer to home where we might find some power behind us to make a difference.
Thank you. I just saw a gentleman leave the building here. And I saw him walking out, shaking his head. And I was wondering what must be going through his mind if he came here for the first time. We always have had a guest speaker, but we're talking about nukes. It's just interesting because then I saw him move around with his van. And I thought, I wonder what must go through one's mind if they, have not really paid attention. And I think probably the bottom line here is that we're just saying, be educated. Know what's going on around you at all times. Even if it sounds like it's way out there, sometimes way out there isn't all that far out there.
Hey, I think that Israel should not, they're not going to wait around for them to hit them again. They're going to smack them as soon as they get a chance.
And I think that that's something that we all have to face. You know, unless there's a way of diffusing this, and I don't know what it is. The only way you could diffuse it is to put a sanction in there that really works. You know, I'm not against everybody. I'm not against nuclear weapons going away. That'd be the greatest thing in the world. But they all have to go. Not some of them. Not just ours. Trust but verify.
You know, when you have grandchildren, I spent my whole life teaching my children, going all the way back to Zoroaster, the philosophy of religions. And there's some great books out there, the Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita. You go back to the original Old Testament, and you go into Muhammad with the Quran, and the Kitab-i Aqdas, which is the Baha'i faith. And one of the things I find very troubling in our country are Judaic principles and Christian principles are under attack. And we have a Muslim president, I'm being told. And so, to me, in our own country, most of us are pretty ignorant about the facts between the Shiites and the Sunnis. And not only that, if you read the Quran, there's nothing in there. Muhammad was a great prophet of God, just like Jesus Christ was. You can trace back in philosophy the consciousness of mankind. What our problem is in our country is right now our president is apologizing to the world for our behavior as Judaic Christian principles, and that really troubles me.
Especially since he should be apologizing for his behavior. Well, you know, speaking of unusual ideas, Linda made comment earlier about having an airline fly over and pick up the remains in South Korea. I don't think that's such an unusual idea. There's an awful lot of commercial airlines that aren't making much of a profit right now and not having much of an impact. It might be that one of them would like to volunteer for public relations purposes to go over and pick up those bodies and bring them back home. Yeah. I think would take would be some sort of a suggestion to the public relations department of the airlines to do that. And come to think of it, I think I'll do that.
Thank you, John.
Good idea. Okay. I have to kind of read this, and I have to say it. I'm committed to saying it, and I believe it. I'd like to suggest... No, wrong statement. Sorry about that. I'd like to make a comment about the debate that was going to be here earlier today. That was going to be D.A. Benito and Attorney Steve Carlton. And I'd like to suggest that people avoid making this a one or two issue or case election. I've been very critical of Jerry Benito and originally came out in favor of his opponent, Steve Carlton. I've attended several hours of press experiences for both Benito and Carlson, the result being I do not feel Mr. Carlton has the necessary technical ability to maximize the district attorney's office, and I feel Mr. Benito does. I hope everyone will look closely at this race and really pay attention to what I'm talking about. Since Mr. Carlson was district attorney, the entire district attorney's office has upgraded, it's computerized, its technical capabilities have surpassed anything that he is even aware of, and I know this because I've asked him about it, I've discussed it with Mr. Carlton, and I've discussed it with Jerry also. There's been some mistaken lack of prosecutions and prosecutions by Mr. Benito. There are going to be more mistakes. There's going to be mistakes no matter who the DA is. But I really want to say to you that I'm recommending that you all really look at this, and I'm pushing for Mr. Benito. Thank you.
Well, as many of you know, Carl and I, with our Casey and our show, and this show, that we're committed to having a platform for all of you. But as Carl and I being, I guess, in the media, we have our personal convictions, but we remain neutral. And you understand that is what we have to do, that we are open to having you discuss your feelings and your responses, and what you think is factual is fine by us.
That's what a town meeting's for.
Yeah.
And I agree, and I'm really thankful that we got to see Steve Carlton here when he first announced. And I personally, like many of you, heard him say his own self that he was afraid of guns, and that he thought you should have a very good reason to have a concealed weapons permit, and that he thought the Constitution was a living document. But now, when I heard him the other night at the Reading Tea Party, he has changed his story. But I was glad that I was able to hear him the first time say, and now he has a new line, he really is for the Second Amendment now. Anyway, and another problem that I find a problem, I don't know if you'll find it a problem, but Mr. Pohlmeier is, I believe, the campaign manager for Steve Carlton. Is that true? Mr. Pohlmeier is married to the judge, Kara Beatty. There is a conflict there when you are trying to elect a DA and your wife is a judge, I believe. So we might check into that. And then Mr. Crosby said, to let politics become a cesspool and then avoid it because it is a cesspool is a double crime. Oh, and I have one more thing. Steve Poizner, who's running for governor that we're supporting, is coming to Reading, and he's going to be here next Wednesday, April 14th, from 11 to 12:30 at Moss Lumber. I have flyers. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've talked to Mr. Poizner's reps, and I believe he's going to be on the show at 7:30 Wednesday morning. We're just I think that he's able to change his time.
I'm probably going to become the most unpopular person in the room right now, but I do want to say that I am pro-Steve Carlton. And the reason I'm pro-Steve Carlton is actually because of the high turnover rate in Mr. Benito's office, that if you have one unhappy employee, that's one thing. You think, oh, that's sour grapes. But when you have a whole slew, and I'm talking a slew of attorneys that have left Mr. Benito's office, then there's something wrong there. So I think that the respect that Mr. Carlton has from the legal community speaks a lot.
And that's what we have. It's wonderful to have an election and be able to have discovery.
Okay, I'm moving quickly through here.
Missy brings up a great point. Okay, what's happened to our government at all levels is we aren't watching. I'll give you the case. My name's Randall Faulkner, and I'm running for Shasta County Auditor. Since I've been running, you can't believe what I've seen. We have three grand juries that have told us what's going on is wrong. We have 86% turnover in these departments. That's three times normal. We actually hired a CPA firm from the Bay Area in 2004 just to look at management in the auditor's office. They gave us a very, very detailed analysis of what's going on, and we didn't do anything. They had things like they interviewed 22 people. They took surveys from 22 former employees. Listen to these numbers. 72% left due to unfair treatment by management. That's a huge number. 87.5% left due to upper management's decisions. You know, it's not like this is hidden from us. We're just not opening our eyes. And now maybe the pendulum's going to swing back and more of us will get involved and we need to make a difference. Listen to some of these comments. Overall, there was a common belief that employees were not treated professionally, but were treated with poor regard for employee morale and welfare. Now remember, this is an independent CPA firm from San Francisco. One respondent noted that only the negative was noticed. More specifically, former employees stated that current management does not approve of generalized talking among staff. I know that to be true. There's a general policy. You are not allowed to talk to anybody outside this department. Several employees reported that they thought their job performance was satisfactory until unexpectedly they received either a poor performance review or termination. I know that's true. I was one of those people back in February to April of 2008. I always ask, you know, they used some of these tools as an intimidation tool. They changed four management positions, of which I was one in, to an at-will position. You're warned every week and reminded that you are at will and you can be terminated for no reason. And every time you ask, well, am I doing something wrong? The answer is no, you're doing just fine. And then one day you walk to work and you take a day of sick leave because people are coming to work sick and you end up getting sick and you're canned. You have to be very, very careful. Listen to the last one here. As one employee stated, I made it through by learning quickly to keep my head down and my mouth shut. Folks, we've got plenty of evidence. We just need to open our eyes and look at it. Thank you.
And as we need to remind everybody, you know, Rando here is running for Shasta County Auditor. So, you know, and we have had both candidates on our show, and so we can go back in our archives on Free Fire Radio. Again, providing the platform for all sides for it. What else?
It's me again. I just, while Carl and I talked before this program started, that he would let me announce that we had a debate last night at Sequoia Middle School. It was supposed to be between Pete Stiglitz and Wally Herger. Wally Herger chose not to come. Pete did a great job. We had a moderator there, Mike Quinn, who you might be familiar with on local radio, and he did a fantastic job. And I got to tell you, Pete Stiglitz is an upstanding man. He's a retired Air Force lieutenant colonel, and I know if he became Senator, Carl, he'd be glad to go get those remains or see to it it's done, of those Korean MIAs coming back home or killed. I'm sorry. But anyway, I think it was to Wally's detriment not to show up. He was asked. The door was open the whole time. He knew about it 6 weeks in advance, but said that he wasn't interested in primary debates. He was waiting until the regular election. But I thought Pete did a great job. He knows the Constitution. He's a Constitution guy. He says he's not going to accept pay for his service. He wants to just serve one term. He says he gets enough pension from the Air Force, thanks to taxpayers, and it's more than enough, he says, to live on. And I admire him for that. He just wants to serve this country, and I think he's an honest, decent man. And I just want to put the word in there for him. Thank you.
All right.
I just had a quick few things. I voted for the Compassionate Use Act. I didn't know I was voting to have a lot of cooperatives in town and all the farms out in Bella Vista that were taking care of everybody that need that. I believe that we should promote the science that allows people to have relief from things like marijuana, but I'm not sure this is what I voted for, to have all the other things. The other one is we're getting exactly what I would expect if we sent Neville Chamberlain out in the world to negotiate for us. And the third thing is there's a program that was Return to Tarawa on the military channel. And it was the goal of this man, who was a veteran of the Tarawa campaign, to go back there and solicit the government to do some cleanup on the beaches. And he was also there, and it was very interesting how many of our American servicemen are still buried in marked graves at Tarawa, and we haven't gone back to get them either. So maybe there's, if we Googled that and did a little homework, we'd know there, I know there's mention of the government agencies that are dedicated to doing those kind of things, and maybe it would just help to get some kind of kick to get them to do what they're supposed to do. That's all.
Great.
You know, the fact, and I, Missy, I appreciate it so much that you sent us an email about this, about we have remains over there that our government hasn't picked up. You know, I just want to think that it's because of an overwhelming bureaucracy that they're planning on it right now, and we just haven't heard anything. But I think this is something we can push forward. Now, we've only got, 8 minutes left, and there's one person I'm going to call on. Jeff, put the cookie down. Jeff, you were at a meeting the other night, and we just talked about it. And I think it's because this is something we've talked about on our show twice now, the U.S. Forest Service and what they're doing to the surrounding areas. And you had some great comments. Would you care to elaborate a little bit?
Well, I've recently got more. I've always been interested in politics and paying attention, but not attending the meetings and so forth. And recently I've gone to the city hall meetings and the county supervisors meetings and saw how government works and had a positive experience. And last Tuesday I went down to the Forest Service meeting and sat in on their dog and pony show. And if they're an example of how our government functions, we're in a lot of trouble. It was just bureaucracy at its maximum. They put on this show, slideshow, and they had real nice colored brochures handed out. And if you read that, there was never addressed a single problem. It was just planning and solutions and stuff. Never addressed a single problem. Never addressed a single solution. It was just a bunch of big words. And I sat through it, and I'm a pretty mellow guy, and it got so pathetic that I chose to go watch the finals of Dancing with the Stars.
Which you've always wanted to be in.
Yeah. So, well, as a former Chippendale dancer, you know, I have a lot of interest in that. So I just got up and I had to leave, but I'm composing a little letter, email, and these people... The ties, the people wearing the ties and the loafers, if 90% of them went home, these forests would never know the difference. They're not doing a dang thing out there. They're just a bunch of lip service. They don't even know which side the bread's buttered on. And if we got rid of all of them or the big percentage of them, I mean, we need some, you know, bureaucrats at the top. But and we're so short of fish and game and forest rangers. People with boots on the ground, as I call it. There's where the job is being done. But those guys in those big offices, man, what a building that place is. That's a gorgeous building. And I've never seen so many cops in one place in my life. Every entrance, every doorway was two of these guys. There's this one little lady, she's gray hair. She had so much, she looked like a SWAT officer. I thought her knees were going to buckle. And she had the biggest thing I've ever seen stuck in the front here. And I had to walk across the parking lot to see what it was, and it was the biggest stun gun I've ever seen.
Thank you, Jeff.
Don't tase
just,
me, bro.
Just a few more comments. We do have Sharon wants to speak before we go out on the floor one more time.
I'll make this real quick. Earlier I had said that politics is a dirty business, and I didn't mean to put anyone down here who's involved in that. But I don't take it back because I still think it's true. But I want to commend Missy for having the guts to come up here. And you were, you know, bombarded by questions. You probably didn't know you were going to do that. But to have politicians come up at the spur of the moment and to speak unscripted and to be willing to speak out no matter who you like or who you don't like, that's the kind of transparency I think we need. And I applaud that kind of service, and I thank you for it.
Hey, Missy, thank you.
That meeting the other night over there was only a meeting to determine what way they were going to do the meetings from there on in. And that was just a planning meeting to plan the other meetings. And they didn't, like you said, they didn't do a thing, but that was just a big planning meeting to plan the future meetings.
I wonder what kind of meeting they had to plan to do that meeting. You know, if...
One of the politicians recently said something about government is 90% planning and 10% production, and private industry is the other way around, and I believe that. I mean, this example of government in action, they're never going to get anything done. It's just ridiculous.
Well, we really appreciate the gathering today. Don't forget tomorrow, walk a mile in her shoes. Tomorrow night we're going out to Let's Play Ball, which is a fundraiser for the dismantled ballpark.
That's coming out to Simpson, yeah.
And we're very excited.
Simpson's got a free baseball stadium.
It's going to be, they've dismantled it, I think, in Vacaville, and it's all ready to go. They just have to raise some funds to get the land, and so tomorrow night's a fundraiser for that. We'll be out there supporting that, because I think that would be a great asset for the North State to be able to maybe have a minor league come.
Well, it's going to be at the Big League Dreams out there. We could have, President Obama threw out the first pitch the other day at the Nationals, and as when he threw it, it was high and to the left. Yeah, okay. When we talk about here in the open, in an open forum and in our show, these are just things that we see, and comments that people have made. And one of the things, and just in the last minute, that it seems like, Anderson Cooper, is that his name on CNN? He said something last night. He said, when the Tea Party movement started, they were not given the fairness that they deserved, including by myself. I know, it's hard to believe that. And because they'd been denigrated. In fact, he was one of the ones that used one of the most memorable terms that applied, that they thought applied to the Tea Party movement. And what it is if you look at the latest polls, and these are Rasmussen polls, these aren't from the Fox or anything, that says that like 78% of the people agree with what the Tea Party is saying. They feel like that they agree with their type of with what they stand for. And then 20 of the groups got together in a federation, I think just signed for a federation. So, do I want to see the Tea Party as a third party? No, I don't. I think that would be the biggest mistake in the world. But I would like to see that the reason that I like it and, that I think the Tea Parties, all of them, are important to our nation is that they're standing up. They're saying something. And for America, and they don't have to be Democrat or Republican. They're saying what they think is right for our country. America is a very forgiving nation. It takes a lot for us to get upset. I mean, it really does when you think about it. Over the years, I think we've reached that point when people say, well, what about Bush? Well, it's because you kept thinking, oh, it's going to get better, and then it didn't. And so now people say, that's enough. We need to change. And if I was an incumbent this next election, I'd be thinking about that real hard. And I don't care who it is. I don't care if you think you're in a safe district. There's a lot of people out there that are upset. And that's what I applaud, not just the Tea Party, but any movement that gets involved in politics to make a statement so that they know what we think and stop taking us for granted. Anyway, thank you all very much for being here. And I think we have one more statement here.
Closing thought?
As a Tea Party representative here from Bostonian, and we did put on a Stiglitz debate last night, we absolutely do not say third-party system. We are backing conservatives, period.
Right. And that's what I said. I don't think it should be any – I think a third party right now is the wrong way to go. I think we need to find candidates that we agree, that we believe in, and that's who we support as Americans. As Americans.
All right. Thank you so much. Wait, so who's on tomorrow? You're on tomorrow. You're on high heels tomorrow. That's right.
Thank you very much.
10 o'clock.
Next week's going to be big. We're going to have Cool April Nights all week. We're going to have Steve Poizner on Wednesday at about 7:30 in the morning. It's going to be a great time. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Accent.